Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each week, we explore different aspects of the world of music. Sometimes we do world music, too. And sometimes we do music history. Sometimes we do concert reviews. But today, we have an album review for you. I know we haven't done one in a little while, but we're getting back into it. We got ourselves a list that we are putting together of albums that we're going to be reviewing in the future. And chugging those suckers out more often. But I think that we have ourselves a pretty decent show for you today. And Jake, or yeah. Greg, whichever one of you wants to take this introduction,
yes,
please do so now. Oh, yes, of course, our listeners. I've got my co-host with me, Jacob Crum.
Howdy.
And Greg Harvey.
Yes.
So, yes, they are here.
All right.
Which one of you wants to take it?
Oh, I'm taking this.
Go for it.
Because today we're talking about They Might Be Giants, in particular, the live album, Severe Tire Damage. Thank you for the suggestion, Greg.
Thank you very much. I had it in my car on the way here, and I thought, you know what? This'll do.
So if this sucks, I'm blaming you.
That's fine.
It doesn't suck, because even though this is a live album... Well, first off, the first two tracks are actually studio cuts.
Yes.
Yeah, but the live composition is so good that I suggested it. And this is coming from someone who does not like live albums. I don't. So, Jake, what are we in for?
Oh, we are in for... Okay, so TMBG, They Might Be Giants, is basically a duo of two guys named John Flansburgh and John Linnell. They were friends in high school. They wrote music in high school. They wrote music about things that high schoolers care about, like science class and comic books. They kept writing songs about science class and comic books. They Might Be Giants has, like, what, 42 studio albums or something like that?
Some crazy number.
Yeah, I'm not even going to look it up because it doesn't matter. It's a lot. If you don't know who they are, well, we're just going to introduce you to them right now.
Yes.
They call me Dr. Worm. Good morning, how are you? I'm Dr. Worm. I'm interested in things. I'm not a real doctor, but I am a real worm. I am an actual worm. I live like a worm. I like to play the drums. I think I'm getting good, but I can handle criticism. Show you what I know, and you can tell me if you think I'm getting better on the drums. I'll leave the front unlocked, cause I can hear the doorbell.
When I get into it. That is interesting.
Dr. Worm.
All right.
Is it interesting because the bass line is basically a polka? Or is it interesting because it's a like literally a song written from a flyer that was hanging outside a music store?
I mean, yes. No. It's interesting because it's got like a Weird Al kind of vibe to it.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's better than Weird Al.
Yeah. So,
and more interesting because it's not just like, I mean, it's weird stuff, but it's not like a parody of other.
No, it's just good weird songs.
Because I mean, that's a good horn section that they have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Big fan of Dr. Worm.
So far, I have no idea what to make of this.
Yeah. So
it's confusing.
This is a live album.
Yes.
The first two tracks were brand new releases at the time, so that was a studio cut, but it was the first time it had been put out. I looked up their level of work that they do. It, like, just the sheer amount of it is insane. They have 19 studio albums, 21 EPs, and 9 live albums. So that doesn't count singles and demos.
When did this album come out?
1998.
Okay, because one of the other things, too, is that even though since it's a live album, it kind of is like a greatest hits type
yes.
setup. But yet a lot of their really good songs didn't make the cut because... They weren't even written yet.
Right, because this was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, this is like the first half greatest hits, in a sense.
Now, okay, so in 2004, again, with the band's work ethic, they put out three studio albums, three brand new studio albums, two of which were download only. One is called The Venue, is called Venue Songs. Are you familiar with that at all, Greg?
I know the songs. I'm not sure what albums.
All right. So Venue Songs is an album that they put together while they were on tour, recording into basically just a laptop. And they wrote a new song for every venue they played at.
Sweet.
So not all of them are very good.
That's what happens when you force yourself.
When you force yourself to cut an album entirely on a tour bus. But there are some real gems in there. Anyhow, the next song on the list here is another studio cut, and it's just the theme song for the live album. It's called Severe Tire Damage Theme.
Laws prevent us from playing any more of it because it's 40 seconds long.
Yeah, you're missing a whole 10 seconds there, folks.
Sorry, folks.
But good little ska cut.
I like that.
Yeah, what if the Specials wrote a theme song for a game show?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it sounded like. So.
Yeah.
So, just a fun little track, but it segues nicely into the beginning of the actual concert audio.
Yes.
And this next one, Jake...
It's They Got Lost. I'm not familiar with this one. Let's hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for They Must Be Giants.
Julie at the station says they'll be here any minute now. But she's running out of records and her show is ending anyhow. They can hear her saying their name on the car radio. But the signal keeps fading out no matter which way they go. I heard they might be somewhere near this town. Be giants got lost driving the rain. John said to John, I think we make a left at the line.
So a funky little number there. They got lost. I don't know. For me, that's just a fun little song that kind of showcases the little bit of rock and roll that you're going to get from the live performance. I think it's a good first song for the audience, too, to just kind of warm them up. Because there's a little bit of everything. I like that piano clunking away there, too. But, you know, if you're familiar with They Might Be Giants, they're going to take a lot of left turns and right turns throughout this thing. So the next song on the album, though, I think is one of my favorites. Not performed the way the original studio recording is. The original is very slow and features, a xylophone, I believe. Very bright and very light. This version, though, I love because they actually kicked it into more of a rock and roll version. And something you might have heard maybe in school as well, too, teach you a few lessons about the sun.
It was featured on this show, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
There you go. So this one is called Why Does the Sun Shine, a.k.a. The Sun is a Mass of Incandescent Gas.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. The sun is hot, the sun is not a place where we could live. But here on Earth there'd be no life without the light it gives. We need its light, we need its heat, the sunlight that we see. The sun
incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. The sun is hot.
The sun is so hot that everything on it is a gas.
Second verse, same as the first.
Boy. And a lot of great lessons to be learned from that song. I learned that the sun is a massive incandescent gas.
Yes.
It is a, it's 93 million miles away, which is why it looks so small. That and other great facts are mentioned in the song.
Okay, so this song was performed by Lou Singer, who was a balladeer in the early 50s. This was recorded in 1959 originally on an album called Space Songs. And since then, we've learned that the sun is not a massive incandescent gas. It's actually a mass of plasma. However, the sun is a mass of... It just sounds better.
Yeah, it so just like, works out.
Incandescent plasma?
Yeah, well... I mean, there are gases in it, but there's all kinds of other junk in there, too.
That is true. So, multiple states of matter that go beyond solid, liquid, and gas.
So, as for the performance itself, even though it's live, I think the quality is really great on this album. Makes it very listenable. The faster, upbeat tempo of it, for me, really kind of sets it off, especially that rock mood.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's almost unmistakable for They Might Be Giants is that patented keyboard sound mm-hmm. that they got going throughout it, which
sounded like Siren 6 to me.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, that tone and the aggressiveness of the keyboard, and then when they like bend the notes too. So yeah, it's very
good
iconic.
Reference there.
Speaking of that, we need to get my brother back on for a Siren 6 review. So let's make that happen.
Let's make that happen.
Fortunately, I know him, so I can contact him and get
him
back.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And I know what else you know?
What?
I know you've heard this next song. It's called Birdhouse in Your Soul.
I'm your only friend. I'm not your only friend, but I'm a little blind friend. But really, I'm not actually your friend, but I am. You can marry me on a bother light switch. Watches over you. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. I have a secret to tell from my electrical well. It's a simple message and I'm leaving out the whistles and bells. So the birdhouse listen to me. Then a busted bitch and then
at it, leave a light on inside the birdhouse in your soul.
What a great version of that song.
Isn't it?
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And this brings me to my one point of contention when it comes to this band and the detractors for this band. I've heard a lot of people say that They Might Be Giants sound like children's music and that John Linnell sings like a bad auntie.
Well,
that right there was really good vocal work.
Those
lines are not easy to push out, and while he it's like a simple melody, it's not really difficult. There's not a whole lot of nuance to it. He's not yodeling in between anything.
The chord progression is amazing, though.
Yeah.
It's really complex music.
And that, of course, Birdhouse in Your Soul is arguably their biggest song. I guess it depends on your angle, because some people, I mean, you could say that the Malcolm in the Middle theme
Boss
song,
of me. Yeah.
Boss of Me, would be their biggest, but, you know, Birdhouse in Your Soul really was, like, their biggest hit, as far as...
Solely on its own merit?
Yeah, not because you heard it from something.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, a great track.
You've heard that one before, haven't you, Brian?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Birdhouse in Your Soul. So, this next song...
I always thought it was a nice song, you know, like, just... I know it's kind of goofy, but at the same time, it was still sort of like this nice little love song.
It took me a few times to get it. But, you know, that's how a lot of their music is. But once you get it, you like it. We were singing that whole track while we were listening to it here. So, any other thoughts before I get on this next one? Because I really do like this next song.
Go for it.
Especially this performance. So, the way this next one starts is great because since it's live, they do a little bit of a kind of an introduction into the song. And I love the way it launches into it. The big thing I want you to listen for, too, is the transition from the intro into the chorus when the guitar, the electric guitar, just slides in out of nowhere. And you'll hear what I'm talking about on this track, She's an Angel.
I met someone at the dog show. She was holding my left arm, but everyone was acting normal, so I tried to look nonchalant. We both said I really love you. Shriners loaned us cars. We raced up and down the sidewalk 20,000 million times. Why did they send her over anyone else? How should I react? These things happen to other people. They don't happen at all. In fact, when you're fond of an angel, does it mean you have to throw your body off a building? Somewhere they're written on a pinhead, calling you an angel, calling you the nicest thing. I heard they had a space program when they sing you can hear there's no air. Sometimes I think I kinda like that, and other times I think I'm already there. Like now, gonna ask.
Yes, she's an angel. So did you hear that guitar thing I was talking about?
Yes.
Because, I mean, just that really mellow intro they do, and then when the electric guitar just rips in, just into that chorus. The first time I heard that, it really, really appealed to me because of the dynamics to it. Because, like, the studio version, it's a little more predictable,
mm-hmm.
but in this live version, it's so unexpected, and that's what really caught my attention. The only other thing I'll say about it, too, is I love, love, love the fact that they substituted out the bass guitar for what I assume is the tuba or a baritone.
Or possibly a sousaphone. We're
yeah,
not really
sousaphone.
Sure.
You know, but one of those deep brass instruments.
I don't really have a tuned tuba ear, so.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume a tuba, you know, generically speaking, but.
Tuba or not tuba?
Yes. But just the punch behind the tuba for the bass line, that you can take out the actual electric bass and still feel kind of that punch. It mixed well with the drum.
You don't hear
a lot
of tuba in music these days.
No. I mean, unless you're hanging out down by the El Tubadera Club.
Well, and you heard the accordion going in there too, mm-hmm. right? So it's just the wackiness, but the way they put it together, it really appeals to me. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just weird.
I'll go with that. This next song,
you gotta be weird to like them.
Yeah, and this next song is very weird because it supposes a fictional rivalry between two 80s pop icons. It's called XTC versus Adam Ant.
Versus Adam and content versus
thoroughly underrated TMBG song. I love that song.
Yeah.
I think Adamant would win.
Hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, you would have to sweeten the tummy. You would have to listen to the full track in order to get the answer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So I think this one's cool because the track before it, we were talking about the instruments being used on it. And then into this track, which sounds like much more of a straightforward rock and roll song, especially that ripping guitar solo going into it. And not only that, too, but did you hear those drum fills? I mean, nothing fancy, but like solid rock and roll. They just switch to that. And then, of course, the next track, they switch back to the more goofy kind of obscure stuff. So, yeah, I thought it was kind of a ripping track.
Do you know if these were all recorded at the same place?
Or was it on tour? Good question. Right now, I don't know. I will have that answer for you momentarily.
Well, let's go into the next song.
I think there's a few tracks in here that like they took the better version, you know, from another show, but it sounds like it's all one continuous performance, but I don't believe that is true.
Okay. Yes. So,
because I think Why Does the Sun Shine, I think, is a different cut.
Okay, so tracks 1, 2, and the hidden track 17, which we will not be playing, were all recorded in studio. Track 15 was recorded in a hotel room. And the rest of the hidden tracks were all improvised on stage.
Mm.
And it seems as if the rest of the live show is a continuous recording of one live show.
Cool.
So they're not necessarily in the order they played them on stage, though.
Yeah.
Right. So, but there you go.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, this next track, I would say another very, very notable.
Oh, yeah.
They Might Be Giants song. Maybe not even a song you realize they did.
It's a cover.
Yeah. It's a cover, and also this version was shown on an episode of Animaniacs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Not this exact version,
well,
of course, because this is live.
Yes.
Yes. I would just like to point out that the song was originally done by the Four Lads, as we have mentioned on our show before, for This Week in Music History.
So if you're savvy, you might already know what song this is coming up.
It's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Nobody's been to find the Turks. Whoa!
So, Brian.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
Next episode of Armenia Proud that you're on, you think they can open the show with that too?
No.
Okay.
Do.
No. I'm going to say that again. No.
It's nobody's business but the Turks.
That was an unfair question. That was a loaded question. I knew it.
Can't even say that around Mr. Kabenjian.
Mr. Kabenjian.
Well, like you say the word Turks,
mm-hmm.
and he just goes off. Can't blame him, though. I mean, it's not like they murdered millions of Armenians or so. Okay, that's exactly what they did.
Well, all right. Maybe that's why Istanbul is not Constantinople. It's Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Good arrangement on a cool song.
Yeah, fun times.
It's live. It's
That intro part, though, like where they're sustaining the minor chord and then that trumpet's just like riffing and stuff. Oh, that I could have listened to that like just for the rest of the song.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Their live transitions into these songs is like 50% of what sells it for me.
But that trumpet player was just killer.
Very good.
Loved it. Let's go ahead and get on to the next song.
I'm going to say is the answer to a question that was posed to one of the Johns at a party, and that question was, what if there really is someone for everyone, but the person that's meant for you lives across the world from you? Such a sweet song.
It is. That's probably one of my favorite They Might Be Giants songs, and it's hard to pronounce.
Yeah, I'm going to a They Might Be Giants, so this is one of the songs I definitely want them to play.
Yeah.
Like, without question.
I think the first time I heard this song, what really drew me in was the drum part.
Mm-hmm.
I loved during the chorus that thing he's doing on the ride there for the beat, just the some about that, and then like the very staccato dun 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 dun.
For me, it's the rhythm of the vocals.
Yeah,
that killed me on the chorus. You know, Anna Ing and I are getting older, but still haven't walked in the glow of each other's majestic presence. And the way that, yeah, just the way John Linnell sings, and he uses speed and the rhythm that he speaks at, speeding up, slowing down, and then drawing out. It's so engaging.
Plus that unusual tone of voice, mm-hmm. and then the fact that they do great harmonies.
Yeah.
Like, all those things add up. And then, you know, you understand where people are coming from when they say it sounds like kids' music. But, like, it's not kids' music. It's playful. It's lighthearted,
yeah.
You know? And if you just let yourself get into it.
You know, they have some kind of really subversive stuff. like The Statue Got Me High. Mm. It's a comment on Marxism. And One More Parade is a really good anti-war song that I don't know has ever been broadcast on the airwaves.
Mm.
So they've got some more serious stuff, but I guess maybe it's the lighthearted nature of the band. I don't know that they play them live that much.
Yeah.
I think they just kind of exist as the art that they are on the albums they're on.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, when you go to a show, you know, what are people expecting to hear and what can you get away with too?
Well,
and,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, there's a time and place for all of it. So this next song, this is a shorter one. This is going back to kind of just another straightforward drive and rock song as far as this album goes. This one's called First Kiss.
Thank you.
The morning alarm rings. I'm asleep, but she's talking to me. She's walking around wearing all of my clothes, but we decided long ago we'd build a time machine.
So a good classic.
A short song.
Yeah.
Hey, I like short songs.
You know, it's just kind of a good, you know, song. Just put in there. It's about a minute, 36 seconds on this track called First Kiss. I want another first kiss. I mean, you don't really get those back, do you?
I guess not.
Hmm. That sounds like some high school music right there.
That is true.
So the next track is one of, if not the first, They Might Be Giants song I ever heard. It speaks for itself, and it's called Spider.
Ladies and gentlemen, Spider. He is our hero.
Spider.
Get rid of
Spider.
Step on Spider.
Spider.
We love you, Spider.
Step on Spider.
Spider.
Yeah, Charles Johnson played that for me in his parents' basement.
Spider.
Somewhere around 1992.
He is stuck with me. See, we can do our own version of Spider. You just kind of whisper some weird stuff.
That's true.
Must find.
In fact, I'm surprised that the lyrics to this are exactly the same as the album version and that it doesn't just spiral into like a 7-minute version of this.
Yeah, they could turn
where they
into
just improvise.
It could have been a jam,
lines.
Yeah. But instead it was a 53-second track. Thank you for that, by the way.
You know, like, yeah, like one or two lines of it could have just been, you know, one of the Johns ordering a drink, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Can I get a Guinness Spider? Two Guinnesses.
I'd like a Jackie and Coke.
The band needs a drink.
So,
Spider.
Okay, man. This next song is like the epitome of They Might Be Giants.
This, if you're an indie rock fan or just an alt music fan, you know, you've heard this. You know this song. It's Particle Man.
But this one, the live version, the composition's a little different.
Okay.
It gives it a new spin on an old classic.
Hey.
Particle Man, Particle Man, doing the things a particle can. What's he like? It's not important. Particle Man, is he a dot or is he a speck? When he's underwater, does he get wet? Or does the water get him instead? Nobody knows. Particle Man. Triangle Man, Triangle Man, Triangle Man hates Particle Man. They have a fight, Triangle wins.
Triangle Man.
Universe Man, Universe Man, size of the entire universe, man. Usually kind of smaller man. Universe Man, he's got a watch with a minute hand. Millennium Man, with a neon hand. And when they meet,
it's a happy man.
Man.
Universe Man. Yeah, the Universe Man.
So that was a weird Zydeco song.
Yeah. The live version definitely makes it feel more like you're in Nolens when that. But
it's a little bit broader than that too. Like it sounds like Zydeco, but Zydeco is actually quite popular over a bunch of different places. It's really funny. So, but yeah, it's well known for being in the South and in the New Orleans region. So
the lyrics to that are ludicrous, right? And have absolutely no meaning. However, you ever do that thing when you're in high school where you go and like tour a college campus?
Yeah.
Greg, okay, well, I did that when I was still in high school. And I ran into a guy who was wearing a They Might Be Giants shirt. And I walked up to him. I said, hey, does your watch have a Millennium hand and an Eon hand? And he knew the reference to the song and then proceeded to tell me that Particle Man was like a commentary on the desert storm, the invasion of Iraq.
Huh?
Yeah. It's like, oh, no, that's an anti-war song about, you know, Desert Storm.
Hmm.
I have no idea where you get that because I'm pretty sure it's just about Triangle Man. And in interviews that I've seen done with the Johns, they go, no, the song's just about Triangle Man.
You know, Person Man.
Whoever came up with Person Man.
Hit on the head with a frying pan.
Yeah. Obviously an anti-war song.
Yeah, that's a classic. The first time I ever heard that, believe it or not, was from Looney Tunes.
Okay.
Looney Tunes did an episode where they made their own music videos. And they did Particle Man, and it was like little Daffy Duck was Particle Man getting beat up.
Somebody's screaming right now because it wasn't Daffy Duck.
It was Donald Duck?
It was Plucky Duck.
Plucky Duck?
Yes, because it was on Tiny Toons.
Well, yeah, I know. Okay. Oh, so it was Plucky. Okay. I was like, no, but it was Daffy Duck, but it's the baby version. Mm-hmm. So
do you know the difference?
He's the same one that went, Ducky go down the hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you can do a really good Donald Duck, you can also do a great Plucky Duck. Do you know what the difference is between the two? It's the same voice, except that you turn the lisp from a lateral lisp or from a vertical lisp into a lateral lisp.
Huh.
And that's how you do that. Hmm. I'm not good at it. I can't do it.
Like anyway. You literally flip your tongue or something. I don't know.
No. Well, you have the lisp, right? And if you change it to a lateral lisp, where it's coming out the side of your mouth.
Oh.
See, you're working on
After
it.
My extensive on. Research on yes. the interwebs, I cannot find any reference to Particle Man being an anti-war song.
That, I told you that was that guy's crazy idea.
There you go.
Takes all
That's
kinds.
When you realize that college wasn't for you.
Wow. Well, hey, you know, guys, we're actually most of the way through our album
yes.
here.
Yes. This is one of my favorite They Might Be Giants songs, right?
The next one?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called She's Actual Size.
I'm talking about a lady's actual size.
No!
I'm talking about a lady whose actual size.
No! No! No!
Words fail.
Buildings tumble. The ground opens wide. Light beams down from heaven. She stands before my eyes. She's actual size, but she seems much bigger than me. I've never known anybody like her. She's actual size. Nationwide belief. Big men often tremble as they step aside. I thought I was big once, she changed my mind. She's actual size, but she seems much bigger to me. I've never known anybody like her. She's actual size as she drives away.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna fade it out during the drum solo there. Sorry.
Sounds like some squirrel nut zippers to me.
Not bad.
That's some straightforward big band jazz.
Yeah.
I like it.
And she's actual size, which is...
Now, is this reference to like My Size Barbie or...
Who the hell knows?
Or maybe just holding her to a higher standard because she's actual size, but she seems much bigger to me. I don't know, to be honest.
Who knows?
Like a giant. I got it. Yeah.
There's only one thing I know.
Yes.
And that's the name of the next song.
Yes. What is it?
S-E-X-X-Y.
This song is dedicated to my one true love, the ladies.
XXY. More than enough. Around the clock with nobody else. SEXXY. There she is, standing on the bed, cookie in one hand with arms.
The song for the ladies.
Can I just say, that song is sexy.
Wouldn't it be sexy?
It's sexy.
That's funny.
It's funky. It's good. It's fresh. It's got that funky fresh.
So fresh I already funk. Told you that this next song was recorded in a hotel room.
Yes.
I'm going to assume it was more or less improvised when they were meeting a gentleman by the name of James Ensor. Because the song is called Meet James Ensor.
Well, do you know who James Ensor is?
I have no idea.
He's Belgium's famous painter. Dig him up and shake his hand. Appreciate the man.
Meet James Ensor, Belgium's famous painter. Dig him up and shake his hand. Appreciate the man. Before there were junk stores, before there was junk, he lived with his mother and the torments of Christ. The world was transformed, a crowd gathered round, pressed against his window so they could be the first to meet James Ensor, Belgium's famous painter. Raise a glass and sit and stare. Understand the man. He lost all his friends. He didn't.
Well, that's an interesting little song.
Yeah, so kind of a stripped down acoustic version, if you will, of this.
Yeah.
Just two men and an accordion.
It reminds me a lot of their actual children's albums. Here Come the ABCs.
Aww.
Here Come the 1-2-3s.
Yeah.
Yeah. My personal favorite song off of that album is James K. Polk.
Yeah. James K. Polk, Napoleon of the Stump.
Because there's just not enough songs in pop culture about James K. Polk.
Well, so about Meet James Ensor, of course, like we said, Belgium's famous painter. This song certainly, I think, is trying to bring more attention to who he was, just as a tribute of sorts. Though, like I said, more an acoustic version, because the studio version I really like because of the drum beats in it, just kind of that fast snare roll and stuff, which in this version you don't get any of that. So They Might Be Giants, always willing to take a different take on their already kind of strange songs. They're willing to, you know, take it even further out there sometimes. So, we got, maybe two more tracks here.
Yeah.
Well, this next one is another personal favorite of mine, and I think that's just because it's another faster rockin' version, and this one's called Till My Head Falls Off.
There were 87 Advil in the bottle, now there's 30 left. I ate 47, so what happened to the other? Why do you suspiciously change the subject and break my concentration as I dump the bottle out and I count the ethyl up again? Don't interrupt me as I struggle to complete this thought. Have some respect for someone more decrepit than yourself. And I'm not done, and I won't be till my head falls off. Hitting every bucket, I'm a shoe pants and overcoat. And I'm hitting them again, but I don't know where I put my notes.
I like that. It feels to me like that's a ska song that just does not have any horns in it. Because that fast drum beat.
Which what I was saying. It sounds like Siren 6.
Well, I'm not familiar with Siren 6.
See, that's where...
That was my first mistake.
See, now you know that you're going to like Siren 6.
Because
honestly sounds like a Siren 6 track.
Well, this track in particular, the chorus I really like. I mean, it's simple, but it's catchy. And I think the thing that really sets it off for me, of course, is just those staccato breaks, that actual till my head falls off. And like, I always like bob back and forth when that part hits. Like, I just can't.
Like a Muppet.
Pretty much, yeah. Yep. That's a good impression.
Oh, who the heck is the bass player for the Muppets band? Janice?
Yeah, Janice? The girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Janice. Anyhow, that actually reminds me of another They Might Be Giants song, similar chord progression. Thematically in the lyrics, kind of similar. You Can't Keep Johnny Down. No.
I don't know. Yeah. We might have to listen to it.
Anyhow, it doesn't matter because we've got one more song for you.
Yeah.
And it's a short one.
It is a short one.
Our intro.
So, of course, the album itself has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more, like, considered bonus tracks.
Yeah.
But I think it's all... I think it's more like 7 tracks of one composition. You know, well, like, it's not like the same song over and over, but it's like a sequence, like Rush 2112 type thing.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we're not going to play those for you. Since it's bonus tracks, might as well be bonus content that you can go get on your own bonus time. So, with all that bonus out of the way, here's track 17, About Me.
You might be thinking that you're free. You might be sailing across the sea. You might be staring at the stars, but you'll be thinking about me.
This is Greg Harvey from Follow the Sound. It's all about me. It's all about me. Oh, hey, guys.
Hi. My freaking show.
Hi, Brian. I didn't see
My
you
name
there.
Is on the title.
It's about me. Track 17.
All right. So, well, I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it sounds like an extremely eclectic, like, creative version of stuff that Weird Al does, with a little bit of like Primus thrown in there, but just more musical than Primus, because Primus is all about rhythm, but They Might Be Giants is more about like the musicality of it.
Yeah, a lot of talent like squeezed into a group of guys that just always kept the childlike side of them alive.
Yeah.
You know,
I enjoyed it though. It was a good album.
Thank you. So like it being live, I mean, the first two tracks were studio cuts and they were really solid.
I'd like to point out first live album we've done. So
is it really?
Yeah.
The only reason I can tolerate this live version is because the quality is so good and because they do the different side avenues of some of the classic songs. So this isn't just listening to the live version of the same songs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's new stuff to explore from them.
I get it. I dig it.
Yeah.
Jake, do you have anything to add?
Oh, man. I love They Might Be Giants. They have such a back catalog that you can get into. It's almost like a genre unto itself. I really like this album. If I went and saw They Might Be Giants in concert, there's certainly a whole lot more songs that they released after this that I would want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like They'll Need a Crane, Boss of Me, of course, Experimental Film, You're on Fire, Purple Toupee. Goddamn Purple Toupee. I would want to hear Purple Toupee. I'd be disappointed if I didn't. But hey, you know what? Let's put some numbers on this bitch.
Yeah. All right.
So I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Right? Now, this is not a reflection of how much I enjoy this album. Just sheerly as a live album, I would just say five. I'd say it was a five. Like middle of the road five, solid five. But there's so much bonus stuff on here, okay? And damn it, they recorded one of these songs just in a hotel room because they were bored, right? It's boom, that's a seven right there. It's going to bump it up to a solid seven.
Okay. Well, I'd say the fact that the live quality is so good, the tightness and the new arrangements, plus the fact that this is the first time we got to hear Dr. Worm,
mm-hmm.
which is a great song out of the gate as a new release. It's got bonus content. It's got most of the hits from that time. I would say, I've really pigeonholed myself here. I want to say seven, but that's probably the best rating I've ever given an album. Mm-hmm. So I feel kind of guilty that this is the highest rated album I've made. But
what more can you ask for from a live album, though?
Yeah, but this one's really fun, and it brings back a lot of good memories. I think that's the thing about how unique the songs are, is it brings back a lot of good memories. So, yeah, I'll give it a seven, but only it edges out some of those previous album reviews because of the nostalgia.
I like it. I'll give this a solid seven.
Hey.
Sweet.
So, and it's kind of funny, though, because then that means that we're all kind of on the same page. I would listen to this again. Like, I would download this, have it on my phone, and then, like, listen to it occasionally. Just because it's fun and it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's something that could put me in a particular kind of mood, you know, like if I'm feeling goofy.
And the pacing really works well,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's why I like it. That's why I gave it a 7. I'm not going to say it's a perfect album. I'm going to say as a live album, it is really darn good. And it's not, like, it's not something that, like, moved me, but it's not really supposed to. So that's why I'll give it a 7. So
sweet.
Musicality alone deserves a 7.
Now, and where were you at before hearing this album?
I knew like maybe 4 or 5 of the songs on the album there.
Great. So a first impression essentially was really, really good.
Yeah. Now my brother, he was big into, or is big into, They Might Be Giants. He's always enjoyed them ever since they started getting like radio play of The Sun Is a Ball of, or Massive Incandescent Gas.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, he's liked them ever since then. So, like, that's maybe why I've heard those songs before. But, yeah, no. I mean, as far as, like, my first sort of real impression of an album of theirs, it's good. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I have to point out, too, on track 3, which is the first track of the concert, they are introduced as They Must Be Giants.
Yeah, that cracked me up. So.
So there you are, folks. They Must Be Giants.
Yeah. And what was the name of the album again?
Severe Tire Damage.
Severe Tire Damage. I like it. Go out and buy it now, but go through our Amazon link first on our website.
Yeah.
all right, folks. I hope you enjoyed this album review of They Might Be Giants, Severe Tire Damage. I know that I had fun. It was a fun album to listen to. And along with me has been my co-host, Jacob Crum.
Thank you for having me.
And Greg Harvey.
Keep the light on for the birdhouse in your soul.
Remember, if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.